You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yes, indeed. What a Blues Traveler for your Tuesday. A live imaging Tuesday.
Open the safe.
The hook does bring you back, Slee. Travis and Sliwa.
I'm still trying to get over what this woman told the other woman.
Quite a scene.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You guys were talking something about somebody was making noise?
Just noisy roommates and confrontations and escalating fights.
Producer Emily, can we tell that story about your roommate that we were talking about earlier or no?
Yeah, we can talk about
it. So producer Emily on her Instagram yesterday, her IG story, as the kids say, posted a picture of a kitty cat. And I was like, oh, I didn't know Emily has a cat. But apparently it was the roommate's cat.
Yeah, so it's my roommate's cat, and Melina is a sweet older cat.
Meow.
Who, she has a lot of anxiety. So,
I know how it feels.
The cat has anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah, Cassie.
So
Cassie's
my...
a therapist on Thursdays.
This isn't funny, Slee. That's not funny.
It's a cat.
It's pretty funny. Yeah,
well, they can take inadvertent.
I didn't know anxiety was funny to you, Slee.
Cat anxiety
Let's
is.
See how you toss tonight at halftime to the Pau Gasol retirement.
Cat anxiety is pretty funny.
Cat anxiety is great.
Continue, Emily, please.
All right, so my roommate has been unemployed for a little bit, so she's been around the house a lot. So, but when she does leave the house, she will... This cat, so she'll like leave her door open so the cat can like roam around wherever she wants, which is fine. But then the cat gets, as soon as the door shuts, if there's no one else around the house, this cat will meow at the top of its lungs for, I want to say, about 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh.
It doesn't matter what time of day it is. So it's just like, meow, like meow. So loud. And until one of us like opens the door, is like, Melina, shut up, or like something like that, and or we go and like be around her, or even like Melina can be on the couch with us, and then starts meowing at the top of her lungs. We're like, girl, like we're right here, hang out with us. Like you don't have to be alone. So anyway, it has to do with separation anxiety from her mom being around all the time. So it just kind of got to a point where like it's just been a lot.
It's a lot.
But the cat was chilling around me yesterday. I was like reading my book at a little desk, and she was chilling in the sunshine, and she was being a good little cat. But I'm also allergic to cats, so I'm not like going to go and be around her all the time. You know, like I'm not going to go and give
cat's
her comfort.
Cat's just getting up on her shoulder.
Anyway.
Like a cockatoo.
Because we're at this kind of point where like we want
cat
our friend
face.
To have a cat, but cat it's just, face. I don't know. Yeah, this is kind of, it's just become a little
It looks elderly.
Point.
I mean, it looks like it's about 5 minutes
It looks elderly.
It is an old cat, and she has issues.
Look, is it time?
She just got this cat, too.
Yeah,
she got this cat in September.
I don't think you could.
Who gets an elderly cat?
My roommate. She wanted to,
sounds like it's time out.
Whatever. It's like, I'm just
no
like.
No comment. No comment at all.
Don't let big cat scare you.
It's a big cat, too? Well, yeah, kind of. It looked a little.
It's a little chunky, but not like so chunky. And this cat, like, will sometimes eat a lot of plastic if we leave it around. It's it'll eat the edges
like
of our
great
like,
cat.
Our trash can,
it's not feeling
and then
well.
We'll throw up. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, Melina. Anyway, so I am a animal indifferent person. So I will hang out with the animal if they're there, but I don't really think about animals when I go home. And so it's just like, I don't know. I just kind of like pet and then go on with lives.
I'm with you on this one, Em. Stay strong.
Stay strong. Stay strong.
But yeah, I don't know what to do with this cat. I
nothing.
Can't
it's
tell,
not your cat.
I can't tell
Let's sit
my
there
roommate
and
to
go crazy.
Deal with this. Anyway, that's how we are.
Thank you, Em. So, Saturday, March 18th, our inaugural pickleball tournament, thanks to Municipal.
No cats.
Well, if you want to bring a cat.
Yeah, you can bring a cat.
Bring
a
snake. Like Emily's.
Yeah, snake. Bring a snake.
I mean,
bring
I'm
everything.
I'm allergic to cats sometimes. Depends if I want to leave or not.
Oh, I understand.
No, but sometimes I do have... I take the Flonase, though. That helps. Anyway, these beautiful T-shirts that we will be wearing that day from our friends at Municipal. They say the Pickleball Madness Tournament logo, and then they have our... you can see them on YouTube right now. Thanks to Municipal for providing that. Of course, one more paddle for our pickleball paddles. We're getting ready. We're inside of two... Well, we're coming up on 2 weeks, right? Or we're inside of two
it's
weeks.
It's a week from Saturday.
Sorry. It's a week from Saturday. So come on out. Saturday, March 18th. The list for... VIP seating is pretty full, so don't even worry about that. Just come on out and party with us. It's going to be a fun day at Miles Square Park in the city of Fountain Valley.
We do our broadcast for March Madness at Yamaha.
Joseph, is that what I ordered?
I don't know what it is.
I think those might be what I asked for. Yeah, I'm going to go see if that is, and then we might bring that in here.
All right.
Anyway, Travis and Sliwa continues your Tuesday right now.
I wonder if
Yamaha has any pickleball courts when we're done.
You just want to pick up a quick game after we're done with the show or
it's
play in the morning?
It's going to be 2 days before.
Yeah, a little quick training session.
Yeah.
I might have an update for you about Thursday. So you keep text Yates. You may need him. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll show you the exchange. I'm going to let Alan Sliwa decide.
Okay.
Remember, you probably don't remember this. There used to be a thing on Monday Night Football called You Make the Call, mm-hmm. where they'd show you something, they'd bring a referee on, and is it PI or not, or holding, and they'd let you do it.
I already know where I'm leaning on this one.
we'll see. I'm going to let Slee make the call. Pau's jersey goes up into the rafters at crypto.com tonight. Certainly well-deserved. One of the great Lakers of that era, the second best player on a team that won multiple championships, back-to-back championships.
Made to the finals 3 years in a row.
And they don't do it without Pau Gasol. Obviously, Kobe was the number one guy on that team. But
fantastic.
Pau was instrumental to them going to those three finals and winning the two championships. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to have his number retired tonight. But it's funny. When I think of Kobe, I can think of 10 like specific moments, and Shaq, specific Kareem, Magic, even LeBron and AD. Like I have Derek Fisher, Robert Horry, like these guys that very specific moments where Pau, I just remember him as being incredibly important to them winning championships. I don't remember the big shot or the rebound or whatever it might be. I just remember him being really good, and without him, they don't win those championships.
So it's funny because when Pau got traded to the Lakers, there was the shock of what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And remember, it was just 6-7 months before that where Kobe was pretty much saying, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not playing for the Los Angeles Lakers anymore. You guys figure this thing out or I'm not going to be a Laker. There was times it was rumored he might go to the Clippers. And Kobe was basically fed up with the Lakers saying, I want to compete. If I'm not going to do it here, I need to do it somewhere else. It was an interesting time in Lakerland too because a lot of people are like, Kobe, you basically drove Shaq out of town here.
Sure.
You two were the ones that were winning everything together.
Sure.
Why did you think you can win without Shaquille O'Neal? And Kobe, obviously,
Shaq goes and wins too.
Wins the first year with Miami, right? And Kobe, in his mind, never thought that it wasn't a possibility. But you just mentioned, right? Pau gets traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. It's kind of funny. So it was at the time, right? Kwame Brown, Javaris Crittenton, if you remember him.
Sure.
Aaron McKee, which was a really good story Dave McMenamin has in on ESPN right now, kind of talking about that trade going down. Mitch Kupchak is quoted in it a lot, how they were trying to keep that trade under the radar. They didn't want anybody to know about it because every other team would start bidding for Pau.
Sure.
But they eventually get Marc Gasol, too, in the trade, and a couple years later it didn't look as lopsided. Marc Gasol ends up being a very, very good NBA player for the Memphis Grizzlies for years. When you say what moment kind of sticks out to you for Pau, I get what you're saying. I get exactly what you're saying, that there isn't. If I said Derek Fisher.
Point four.
You got it. If I said Robert Horry.
Top of the key.
I have a few of them.
Yeah.
Top of the key is the one that sticks out,
right? Of course
it is. Pau, I don't think he had a moment, but I'll take you back to this because I think for every Laker fan, you had a moment where the Lakers had a real chance of losing twice to the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. They lost in 2008. They won in 2009 against the Orlando Magic. And then in 2010, Lakers are playing Game 7 against the Celtics across the street at the time Staples Center. And Kobe, part of his legacy, right? You're not going to go 0-2 against the Boston Celtics, are you? You're not going to. He would have tied, stayed with four championships and tied Shaq, never had passed him, just using that as an example. Kobe didn't have a good Game 7.
No, he didn't.
Right? He struggled from the field. I think he got 16 rebounds, whatever he got. I don't know if there was a specific play in that game, and I know we have one of the highlights of Pau that we can play. Play that, and then I'll kind of tell you what I remember from Pau.
Wallace on Gasol. Backs in, spins, fake, shot. It's good! Gasol got it to go! Timeout Celtics, Lakers by 6 with a minute and a half to play.
That was the play that you kind of finally, Lakers were down big in that game. They're down double digits. They came all the way back. That was the, you can kind of take a sigh of relief and say, I think the Lakers are going to beat the Celtics in game seven. Meta hits a shot too a little bit later.
Yeah. See, that's the funny part.
I know.
I remember that.
I know.
That bucket, I'm sure.
The game, he had 19 and 18 in that game.
Yeah.
That was Powell's moment for the Lakers.
Yeah.
I thought the game seven, Kobe has a bad night. They don't win game seven unless Powell has 19 and 18. That's exactly what he had.
And Artest hits that three.
And Meta hits the three. Sasha hits the two free throws. Yeah. Remember the two clutch free throws he hit? You're not wrong on the moment, but I think of game seven NBA Finals when I think of Powell.
Yeah, it's funny. I just think of him being awesome. I just think of him being instrumental in getting done what needed to get done. I think of Kobe challenging him. When Bryant was the big boy pants, right? You put your big boy pants on, and he made Powell, Powell. Like, Powell was always very skilled and very good, but there was this, is he tough enough thing,
yep.
right? And he comes to the Lakers, and Kobe basically insisted on it.
Yep.
It was, you have to be tough enough because I can't do it without you.
Got to have
you.
A killer instinct.
I cannot yep. do this without you. I have to have you be that guy. And he stepped up to the moment. Yep. And that's what I think of, that when he had to have it, he had it. Not everybody does. That moment, like, are you going to be here for me when I need you to do this? Yes or no? And his answer every single time when it came to that was, yeah, I'm here for you. And
yeah.
that's what I remember most about
it. You described it perfectly, too, what Powell was to Kobe. You could say Kobe was to Shaq.
You know, it's funny. So we were talking about this morning. The number two, right? That because I was trying to think of how we're going to talk about this, and I think the best number twos in Laker history. Well, the problem is Kobe was a number two.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson was a number two.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a number two.
James Worthy was a number three.
A number three. So I think the conversation is the best number two that never became a number one, right? Because obviously Magic a number one, Kareem a number one, Shaq a number one, Kobe a number one. That Powell really never was that guy, the best player on a championship team. And he has to be right up there, kind of in the history of the league. Like Scottie, obviously, sure. is probably the answer to that question.
Anthony Davis,
yeah, maybe.
That's a number two.
Maybe.
That's a number two.
That's a pretty good answer right mm-hmm. there, too. But he also has a whole nother category that we can talk about when we come back is he one of the great international players of all time? Like, if we're holding our list to five, like the five best, I think there's two or three automatics. It's Hakeem and it's Dirk are automatically on the list,
yep.
right? After that, and a lot of them are still playing right now, who are the best Euros
shows
of all time?
Shows you where the league is going to.
The best players in the league, young players, they're all European,
mm-hmm.
other than John Morant, who's kind of in
or
a weird
international
spot.
International, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Not just Europeans, international, mm-hmm. non-American players. We can do that when we come back. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Travis and Sliwa.
Lit.
Tonight, 5:30 p.m., the coverage begins the Toyota Lakers countdown to tip off Lakers Grizzlies, a must win. Even though Sliwa. And then during halftime, of course, Pau Gasol's retirement tonight, number 16 rises up into the rafters. And I wish Sliwa was here to give me something, but I guess what? Another bathroom break for you boys? Coffee break?
I got a little coffee, a little water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the only person. I was back, I was here. Got my water ready to go.
Where's Sleep?
I'm not in charge of Alan. Alan is in charge of Alan. I'm not.
I mean, how long are we going to go before Sleep walks back in?
I don't know. A while.
He's putting off one. He's doing one liners.
This is your live imaging spot.
Saturday, March 18th, the Agape Tennis Center, Agape Pickleball Center in Found Valley. 16400 Brookhurst Street. Be there, okay? It's going to be a party, party, oh, party. I'm looking at the diagram of the whole location there.
Yeah.
We're going to have the DJs. Oh, I'm seeing where the DJ's going to be. Pizza Hut's going to be there. Our friends from Islands, Michelob Ultra, Bud White Seltzer, Valvoline Instant Oil Change, Solo, that cool little car. You can see that. Plus, we're going to have some classic cars out there, too. Our friends from a Lowrider Club are going to come on out with the homies and be part of it. Welcome back, Slee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a bit of a long
break.
What
I miss. What I miss right there.
Anyway.
Lowriders.
Yeah, we're going to have some Lowriders out there Saturday, March 18th. So, tonight, are you ready with your toss? We talked about it earlier. You're going to have precision timing. This is the first time you've had to toss to a live event while on the radio. So, halftime will begin.
Yep.
You'll talk for probably 45 seconds, and then you're going to have to know, I got to go to the court for the Pau Gasol retirement thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to blow the toss.
Yeah.
You don't want to be
too
tight.
I don't know what you're setting up here.
You don't
want to
be too
loose.
I think you're going to. I think you need to ask John some advice today. He's a pro at this. He's probably done a dozen of these in his career.
It's a good idea. I'll ask John. Have you ever done one of these where you're throwing?
A few.
Okay.
A few.
And he didn't do them well either.
No, that's not true. I nailed it.
Okay.
I nailed it.
Yeah, he stepped on it. He stepped on the throw.
Not true. I threw it to the chain smokers at halftime of a Rams game at one point. This was after. That's what it was. I don't know why, but I threw it to chain smokers at one point, and I believe we threw to the halftime show at the Super Bowl as well.
I remember the Chainsmokers one because Kirk was like, well, here's what happens in the nickel defense. And then Travis jumped in and went, oh, now the Chainsmokers down at halftime.
No, that's not.
No. Travis,
to flex.
Thank you, Emily.
To flex on them, Trav, to flex on them. Did you wait? I'm going to wait a minute into their song before I introduce them.
I want to say
turn my mic up higher.
I might have been JB, though, that tossed to it, but like the trophy ceremony at the end of the Super Bowl, things like that, you know?
Well, JB's a pro.
Yeah.
You may want to call JB today, too, Sweet. Just say, hey, man, I got this big
toss.
I love
this setup. I love this setup.
The accusation.
I love this setup. JB is a pro.
Yeah, I was going to say, the accusation, Slee, is that you and I are not.
I'm not saying you're not a pro. I've come in here many a night and been in awe of how you run the Pizza Hut postgame show.
Thank you.
You run that thing.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, do you see that sound just dropped in? Hey, we got so-and-so at the podium. Hey, let's go here. Let's go here. You're great. But this is new for you.
I like it.
The halftime toss.
This is actually going to go down as it's a good moment for Slee here. Get to introduce, throw it to the POW ceremony. Yeah. I haven't had one of these.
Who's the MC of the ceremony? You should probably know that.
I don't think we know.
I don't know.
This is a piece of information you should get before you do it. You're just not throwing it to the chain smokers. You're throwing it to somebody specific.
Don't accidentally say the chain smokers instead of POW Gasol retirement ceremony.
We now go to the chain smokers.
I don't think it says on our...
Did you do it for Ozzy Osbourne, too, this year?
I did do it to Ozzy. You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
The disrespect for all the other halftime shows that I do where it's every other show and I'm just talking over them.
Red Panda.
Love Red Panda.
I don't think we had her this year.
Or those like that chihuahua that sits on the feet of his...
That was the last game.
And they do the... Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That was the last game. The last game we did... Who'd they have last one? The Golden State Warriors Sunday afternoon? That was, I believe it was that one.
Was it the same guy from the San Diego State game who had a chihuahua and his baby Bjorn?
It must be.
I think you'll probably toss to Lawrence Tanner, the voice.
InsideCrypto.com. Could be.
And now but that's with the chain smoke. I mean, the Pau Gasol retirement ceremony.
It could be him, but it could also just be whoever's emceeing the whole thing. Because I don't think he'd be emceeing
the
whole thing.
He won't be emceeing, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get ready. I want to hear you ask John.
Could be Billy
advice.
Mack. Yeah, I will ask John. That's actually a good idea.
That was the whole point of the bit. You questioned the bit 2 minutes ago, but that was the point of the bit. Travis and Sliwa continues now.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you. You and I are not professional broadcasters. We're just guys that come in here every day and see what happens. And you just go to the Laker games and chain smokers, Lawrence Tanner, Pau Gasol, whatever it might be, just start spewing
words. I'm going to put JB on speaker. JB, go.
By the way,
don't screw it up.
He'd nail it. He'd come in there.
JB.
He would absolutely nail it. All right. So Dirk and Hakeem, are we stipulating that they're at the top of the international player list?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I don't think there's any argument you can make that has those two
right.
One and two.
Yeah. They're and Hakeem slightly ahead of Dirk, probably, right? Just by a hair.
I'm
either way, you're
I'm
good
as
with?
Big of a the Dream fan as anybody. So yes, I would agree. And he's got two rings. And
so after that, it gets pretty interesting because Pau obviously is an international player, but is Pau have a better career than Giannis already? Probably not. Giannis is an MVP. Mm-hmm. Does he have a better career than Jokic? Probably not. He's a two-time and soon-to-be three-time MVP, joining, by the way, Chamberlain, Russell, and Bird as the only three consecutive MVP winners, which is bananas. Is he a better international player than Steve Nash, who won back-to-back MVPs? Mm-hmm. Is he a better international player than Luka Doncic, who already has become kind of the face of the league to a certain point?
Sure,
that Powell's had this great career, two-time champion, marquee franchise, which I think is a huge part of it. Had Powell been a member of the Portland Trailblazers, I think it probably feels a little differently. But there are that Powell's not one of the first four or five names speaks to the impact that he and guys like Dirk and guys like Akeem had, that they kind of opened the door where the league right now, the best young players other than Morant and Tatum, they're all international.
So this is let me kind of give you an example of this. If you told me Powell was one of the five greatest players internationally to ever play the game, I don't know if I would. I want to let these other players, I want to let the current players play out, right? Like, I want to allow their careers to play out.
Has Jokic already done more, though?
I would actually say Giannis is the one that's already done more. Okay. He's got that NBA championship. He's got he was the best player on a championship team.
Yep.
So that's why.
Best player on the team, and it won a championship, right? Like, Jokic is the best player on his team. They haven't won a championship yet. They may or they may not.
Yep.
He's going to be a three-time MVP.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. He's incredible. But the only reason why I say Giannis first, because he got that ring.
Sure.
Right? So I just put him there. I think when we sit here 5 years from now, you're going to be saying, without hesitation, yeah, Powell is a top 10 all-time international player.
Yep.
And I'm saying that just because, like you just mentioned there, the game is, this is what makes the game so special today, is people are from all over the world, right? Just take the continent of Africa and just kind of keep that in mind of how many unbelievable players right now are representing the league there. Mm-hmm. How about, you know, we've gone through Europe and everything else that comes with it. Luka's going to, if you told me right now, do you want Luka or do you want Powell? Everybody's going to say Luka,
sure.
Right? That's what I kind of find.
The difference is that all the guys that we're talking about other than Powell were the best player on their team.
Yes.
That's the difference.
And when Powell was the best player on their team, you had a ceiling, and you know you weren't going to go past that ceiling.
Right.
Right? So if I don't think anybody's ever going to play with Luka.
Put Nash ahead of him? Never won a championship.
Ahead of Powell?
Two-time MVP. Like that, Kobe is a one-time MVP. Shaq is a one-time MVP.
Unbelievable.
Nash has two. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, now you could argue, should he or shouldn't he? But
well,
he does.
I think
he has
the
two.
Other. I think the other question of a point guard that we haven't mentioned: Tony Parker.
Tony Parker, Manu.
Yeah,
right. Manu is another one that is another international guy.
Was he multiple? Part
of all, he wasn't part of.
I don't
all
think
five
he was part of,
those.
Of all of them. Tony Parker, I think, was a part of.
Tony's got four.
Duncan's the only one that had three? Five, right?
I think Ginobili might have three.
Yeah,
Duncan's got all five.
Yeah,
right. But you know, you're just saying Steve Nash. I'm like, okay, yeah, Steve Nash is one conversation. Now, do I think Tony Parker would have went to the Phoenix Suns and won MVPs?
No.
I don't.
No.
But Tony Parker is also a, you know,
Ginobili's got
won
four.
Multiple championships. He's got four, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. But this is one of the guys that kind of started it where, because now when, put it this way, Victor Wembanyama is going to be the first pick in the draft, right? Yeah. There is no more, can a European player survive in the NBA? We're done with that. And we're done with it because of guys like Powell.
Yep.
We're done with it because of Dirk. We're done with it because of all of the guys like Gasol that came before. There is no more, well, is this going to work? It's a stupid question now. You either can play or you can't, and these European stars can absolutely play.
Well, this is the funny part, and I love that these international players, especially the European players, they came to the league with their own style. Joker is not like any other player that you see in the league.
No.
Luka looks like he's in slow motion half the time he's driving. And you know what 95% of the NBA players say? Yeah, I don't know how to guard him. I don't know. I don't know what to do. They don't have to mimic American players. They have their own style, and they flourish in their own style. And that style is slower. That style is more strategic.
It's more skilled.
It's more skilled.
Yeah.
It's not athlete first.
No,
it's basketball player first.
Well, the whole thing before was, can a international player learn the American game? Well, what's happened is the American players are becoming more like international players. Where you're seeing
Kevin Durant
plays like a European. He's a 7-foot guy with a handle who shoots threes. That's an international player.
Kind of copied Dirk with some of his fadeaways. That they're taking pieces from the other players.
That you look at Luka, and he's kind of like more of an – he's just big and strong and incredibly skilled. And the more I watch him play, you know who he really reminds me of? It's Magic. He reminds me a ton of Magic. Just the size, the strength, the ability to get wherever he
slicing
wants to go.
Slicing and dicing.
Great passer. That there really is no so that if you he can shoot, he's a better shooter than Magic ever was. Mm-hmm. But it's one of these things that you just look at that. That's the evolution of Magic's game, where it's Magic's game with a better shot. Right, he hasn't done what Magic has done. He's got a long way to go to be Magic, but that's what it looks like to me. And there is no more American way, international way. It's just, can you play in this league or not? You better be able to dribble. You better be able to shoot. You better be able to pass. You have to do all these sorts of
the
things.
The game's at a good place. Now, every Olympic that happens, you're going to expect the USA to win.
Because of the depth, right? Because we just have more good players.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and listen, Spain, there's Greece, there's Argentina. There's really good countries out there. The difference is the NBA has basically an all-star team, and your country has one or two players that are in the league or one or two players that are all-stars.
Yeah, they got all-stars and Michael Redd. That's how that goes. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, guys. So,
I am.
Yeah. So, there's some interesting developments happening right now. So, we were just tweeted at by Bernie Bergman. So, this is what he says. Oh, sorry. Bernie Bregman. Sorry. Just
I was
going to
say, is that like Greg?
Yeah, 100%. I'm like, Greg just tweeted that.
No.
We've got breaking news there.
Right. So, breaking news. So, he says, you guys say my buddy's name all on air all the time. My friend is Adam Zastro. Played Zastro. And apparently Adam McKay just took his last name and used it. So I told him about the shtick today. If you ever wanted to talk to him, I can get you in contact.
I think we're going to have the real Zastro on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How about when the season two comes out? Ask Lee tomorrow.
Ask Zastro.
Yes. That would be amazing.
Hey, I've heard worse ideas. I'm in.
Slee, why is it? Well, no, this is Factor Cap. I'll ask that later.
Okay.
So I looked him up too, and it doesn't look, I think, like the guy that we're talking about. So IMDb him in the break, and we can talk about this.
Yes,
this,
indeed.
This is kind of interesting stuff. Anyway, so not to flame my roommate anymore, but I'm not. It's just she had an interesting thing that happened to her yesterday. So she has been unemployed, so that's why she has been around her cat a lot. And so she was interviewing for a job, and it was a Zoom interview. So she got on the Zoom interview and everything. The hiring person gets on, does not put on their video at all. So it's just a blank screen that says the interviewer's name. And so my roommate's like, okay, and then gets to talking in the interview. Interview was supposed to last 30 minutes, lasted 8 minutes, and it was essentially ended really early. So apparently resumes didn't line up, whatever, but then also don't waste anybody's time.
I don't know if that's a good sign.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good sign either. So, but if you're on Zoom with only one other person, you need to have your camera on. Okay? Trav, fact or cap?
Fact. Otherwise, let's just do a phone call, right? If we're not going to be looking at each other while we're having the conversation or the interview or whatever it is, just pick up the phone and call me. There's no other. Otherwise, it's like oddly passive aggressive that I can see you, but you can't see me. It's kind of one of my power moves, Slee. That I'm going to look and see what you're going on, but you don't get to see what I do. Yeah, you got to turn on your camera if it's a one on one.
All right, Morales.
You mean just one on ones?
Like yes, if there's just a group? One-on-one.
Okay, one on one. I think you have to. Yeah. Yes. Fact.
All right, Al?
I'll go cap on this one because if...
Of course you do.
Let's use yesterday as an example.
Uh-huh.
If she doesn't have her video on, the other side of it, while this interview's... I'm turning off my video. Why is my video going
to
be on?
Well, that's a bad sign.
But you're trying to get a job, right?
Yeah.
All right, but why is your video not on? Let's just say, okay,
that's the point of the question.
So, but yesterday is a job interview. But if I'm... And I'm with you. If I'm going to go on Zoom, I'm assuming we're having a video. But why am I going to turn my video on if your video's not on?
Well, if I were interviewing you and you're coming in, you're trying to impress me, you're trying to get my attention, and I send you a Zoom invite, you're going to have your video on, yes? Yeah,
my first question is, why is your video not on?
Well, the question may be, is your camera rude, not working? But I understand, but what if I just said, no, I don't want mine on? You're going to flip yours off?
So this is specific to a job interview. Yes. Let's say it's not a job interview. Let's say...
Oh, that's different.
Let's say me and you, we're doing a Zoom call. You're doing a call with Tommy. Tommy doesn't have his video on. I'm not turning on my video.
That's different because we know each other. But if I'm trying to get curry favor, he can't just, it's weird.
Turn the video off and I start doing a robot.
If there's no faces being able to be seen, just make it a phone call.
I'm going to send you a Zoom invite tomorrow morning. See what you do.
Taylor?
If your video's on, my video will be on.
I'm fact on this. This is an a-hole move by the interviewer. I mean, who do they think they are? Like the Wizard of Oz or something? You can't just hide behind a curtain. Imagine they do that in real life too. You go in for a real interview and they're just behind a curtain. Who does that?
Yeah, I feel like for her, she probably dodged a bullet because it might not be a place she wanted to work for anyway. If that's how they treated the people, that's maybe probably not where she wanted to work.
Turn on Your Honor again. Just watch another episode. That went quick.
All right. So a group of girls apparently were hospitalized because of anxiety having to do with playing a Ouija board. So they play the Ouija board. Something happened. I just saw the article. Didn't really explain what happened. And then they went to the hospital because anyway. I'm someone who never messes with Ouija boards. I'm like, this is something that if I don't have to play with it, that's fine. No one's making you do it, so I'm not going to do it. But you believe in the power of Ouija boards. Morales, fact or cap?
Cap. I believe in the higher spirit, but I don't know about a Ouija board.
All right, Al?
I go cap too, but if you guys want to bring a Ouija board in here, I'm in.
You going to try to contact Bill Sharman?
That was pretty good.
I told you, winning time's fresh on my mind.
Write that down. That was pretty good. I don't really think too much of it. Like, I don't think I've ever done it and was actually worried about doing it.
Hey, Trev?
They sell them at Target. It's not a portal to the other side, okay?
You never know.
No, I do know. That if they were
their stock prices,
there were actual this device that would allow you to communicate with the dead, I don't think that they would have them on the toy aisle at Walmart. I think that it's a game for kids and it's not something that is going to unleash the spirits to the other side.
Okay, that's what you say, Taylor.
That's what people who end up seeing the other side.
Should we bring one in for you?
No, please. I will nix this 100%.
It's $21.99 on Amazon.
Emily's going to be in the hospital next.
Just heads
it's down. Made out of plastic.
Yeah, no. Okay. I will absolutely veto any Ouija boards coming into the studio whatsoever. So, but anyway.
Why? Didn't
the
first what are you worried
didn't
about?
Didn't the first Insidious begin with a Ouija board? Wasn't that the whole bit?
Also, but why mess with spirits? I think that is true. Exist. Like, but why even?
Point that Travis is trying to make is the same place that you buy paper towels and sparkling water is also selling you the Ouija board. Right. So I think there's
okay, but also
bit
like
just
the spirit,
America.
The spirit can possess anything. You know, I don't know. I'm just, no thanks.
By the way, I'm not impressed with Target's sparkling water selection. That's just me.
No, it's okay. Costco's better.
Costco's the spot.
Or but Smart and Final.
Taylor, do you believe in Ouija boards?
I don't know. I'm in the middle on it. When I was younger, I might have subscribed to it
Let's bring it in.
But yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
So I'm going to wear that little triangle thing around my neck like a medallion. Emily will go running out of the room.
You guys can do it on Friday when I'm not here, and you guys can knock yourselves out.
We'll come to you. Where are you going to be?
Nope. I'm not going to tell you.
So he puts his hand on it.
The board will tell us.
Bill, how did you select Jack McKinney?
Yes or no? Jack McKinney would have won all those championships.
Oh, no. All right. So...
Chris, 1 pound of bacon a day.
I'm back on that. I'm back on that, yeah.
Oh, Chris.
Back on it?
Yeah, because of the keto. Not every day. Some days are a
bacon. Let it go, man. Let it go.
Okay, so this weekend, my friends and I were kind of doing some activities in Malibu / Topanga Canyon, and we ended up going to this place called Rosenthal Wines, which is off the PCH, before you hit the Malibu city line. But we got there at like 11:30. First thing we saw was that there was... $10 for parking. When we've gone this place before, it was free parking. So we were like, okay, F that. We're going to park on the other side of the PCH and just cross the PCH to get there.
Well, dangerous
worked
little...
Out, worked out fine.
Yeah.
We were fine. You know,
that's like crossing the 405. Crossing PCH.
That Malibu fish place, you know what I'm talking about? Yes. Every time.
There's no good spot in PCH to try to cross. It's super dangerous.
But, and then we get there. It's like 11:39. Actually, the time it is right now, but it opened at 11. So we walk up there, we don't have a reservation, and I'm saying, hey, like, you know, could we sit somewhere, or, like, can we get a seat? Like, I guess we can, like, squeeze you in. And you're like, okay, but there are 50 open tables, but sure, okay. We had gone to another place, too, and they gave us a 15-minute wait to get stuff, because, we didn't really plan, we didn't have any reservations. So, max you will wait for a table is 30 minutes. Alan, Factor Cap. And this is without a reservation. You just walk up cold.
So I'm going to go cap. And it's going to take longer for me to find a different restaurant. It's going to take longer for me to end up somewhere else. But this is the same thing with traffic. It's like, as long as I feel like I'm moving, even though this direction is going to be longer getting there, I feel better doing that than just sitting and not moving. 30 minutes is, I'll go 15, 20 minutes. 30 minutes is too long for me. I'm not waiting 30.
Trav?
Yeah, for all the reasons Al said, but by the time you get to the new place, you're waiting another 20 minutes at the new place. So now I'm
an hour.
I'm an hour in, and I'm still sitting down, and I still don't have my martini. So yeah, honestly, it's like a 40-minute threshold for me, because that's the amount of time you can get to the next place and tee it up.
Morales?
I'll wait only if I could have a cocktail, or at least a place to sit.
Yeah,
and relax. Yeah, go to the bar.
But if the bar's full, then eh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that thing, too, because sometimes they'll give you a drink at the bar, but you got to stand in that little lobby area. That always feels weird, too. You're sitting there with your martini just staring at the other people.
And then
the
trick
tables.
Travel, too. He's done this.
Yep.
Is like, let's say me or Key said we're going to get dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll say, well, I'll get drinks. So we're waiting for a table. And then he'll pull the, just put it on the tab for the dinner.
No, that's...
And I'm like, whoa, I thought you were getting the cocktails.
On one card. We're going to put this all on one card.
Oh, you can move it over? Perfect. You know, the worst is when they say they can't move it over.
Let me get one more drink real quick.
This is
when they say they can't move it over, I'm like, really?
This is false.
All right, Taylor.
He brings out two credit cards. Can you split it?
50-50.
But it's the same name. Yeah, no, I know.
Trav, I had to even it up because he was getting mad about the Bill Sharman thing, so he had to even the score. Go ahead, Taylor. Sorry.
Yeah, fact. No, 30 minutes. 30 minutes is a sweet spot. And it's your first choice in this situation, so you might as well just stick it out.
Yeah, right.
How about that when the place is wide open and they're like, "Ooh, it's going to be really tough." Is it?
Have you ever done
that? Nobody behind you.
Hey, listen, I'll eat really fast. I'll get out before all these invisible people show up. Can I just sit down and get a chicken parm, please?
Chicken parm, that's going to take a while.
It's also like a winery. I could stand and drink wine. Like, I don't know. I was like, we got a seat eventually, so they made room for us. All right. So, there's a show that premiered last week. It's called Daisy Jones and the Six. It's based off a book that I read and I really liked, and it's about, like, it's essentially like a not super veiled allegory for Fleetwood Mac. So it's like Fleetwood Mac, but like this is Daisy Jones and the Six. Anyway, it's about like this 70s era in Los Angeles, but it's kind of a bad show. It's not great, and I was really disappointed by it. So,
but there, you watched the whole thing?
No, I watched two episodes, okay. Which is all that was released. All so right. I'm probably not.
That was all that was released.
Yes.
When episode 3 comes out.
Hey, who knows? So, but there has never been a good book to movie show or movie adaptation. So there's never been a good book to media show adaptation.
Show,
not movie.
I'm saying show okay. Or movie. So there's been
really?
No good book, show, or movie. That's the statement, and you can agree or disagree.
That's your statement?
That is the statement.
That's part of
and
the
therefore
factor
you can
cap.
Agree or
yeah,
disagree. That's the
well,
whole
I mean,
bit.
The Godfather
right.
Would pretty much knock that out of the park.
Well, yeah. I haven't started with you, Morales. Yes.
Well, sorry, it just...
Taylor?
Yeah, cap so hard on this, Emily. There's so many, like the Shining.
Yes.
Yeah.
The book was better.
Better is different than good.
Most
was the
books
movie.
Are Who's better best? Than the movies. Just you want to just get it in 2 hours
Godfather
and call it a
is,
day.
To Chris's answer, have you ever read The Godfather?
I have not read it. No.
It's not a great read.
It's not.
The movie is otherworldly, but the book, there's a whole section of the book that's not even in the movie. It's not a great read.
All right, Morales?
Another one, To Kill a Mockingbird. It was a pretty good movie and
Gregory Peck.
Pretty good book. So. Yeah. I'll give you that one.
I'll go a little more modern here. That and for TV series, not just movies. Set here in L.A., Michael Connelly was reporter
yes.
for the L.A. Times.
Yes.
Writes all the Harry Bosch novels,
yes.
which I've read all of them. I love them. I think they're great. Bosch, the TV show, is terrific.
Yeah.
It's a terrific TV show.
Sure.
You got me fired up. I mean, yeah. Damn, come on.
I'm not a big procedural fan, so that's why I didn't watch Bosch, but I'm sure people like that. Alan?
I think he said, for me, Shining is the perfect one. Shining is perfect description of
The Shining.
No,
is so boring as a movie. What? It's such a boring movie.
No.
I am not a Kubrick fan on this one.
I'm kind of with Emily on this.
Okay, have you watched it recently?
No, not recently.
So
I watched it every Halloween
3 months ago, and it's so boring.
Oh.
Like, almost nothing happens. And in The Shining, the book is so good, so dense. There's honestly very few good Stephen King adaptations because his books are so good and so dense. It's really hard to make a good adaptation.
I agree. This may get a tomato or something thrown at me. I agree with you on Kubrick, by the way. I'm with you.
It's some people's juice. It's not everyone's juice. And that's
What's the other one that did? And I didn't read them. Lord of the Rings, I know, killed it in both of the categories, yeah, but I wasn't much of a...
That wasn't mine either. I didn't watch that. No.
All right, that's it.
Good job, Em. Good job. Chris nearly came out of his chair about The Godfather there.
I'm just saying. I mean,
I'm going to say that is a very strong candidate.
All right. Mike Trout is talking. You heard me right, Slee. He's talking. It's just too little, too late. It's coming up next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Travis and Sliwa. Little before noon, we are wearing our, well, I am at least, but you guys aren't, our official Pickleball Madness Tournament t-shirts, thanks to our friends at Municipal. Yours on the back, Slee, said, go grab that. Put it up to the camera
for people watching.
Oh, can they see it?
I think they could see it.
Well, that was good thinking then, Slee. Payback's coming. Of course, that's targeted as John Ironman throwing water on you.
Is it? I had no idea.
And Trav says, go Gauchos. So there you go. Be in the house Saturday, March 18th.
Play Pepperdine today, Slee, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
The waves, yeah.
Yep. Thanks. Agape Pickleball Center in Found Valley. Come on out. Press the flesh with us. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Going to be a party. And you can see us wearing these great shirts from Municipal. Our rackets. Or what are they called?
Paddles.
Whatever. And watch us play some pickleball. Now, apparently, we've got breaking news about your training that you were planning. You and Trav were finally going to play together this Thursday.
Yeah, because we have not. We've yet to get on the court together.
But apparently, not shocking, Michael Rogers has some sort of sporting event, so you're bailing?
He was scheduled to play tomorrow and Friday, but because it's supposed to rain on Friday, they moved the Friday game to Thursday. They play a 3 o'clock game, so Slee, you're going to have to get Yates on the horn and make sure that he's available
Clinton,
be your fourth guy.
It's Al. Just want to see how your day is going.
I'd like to clarify that I'm not going to play pickleball with other people. I'm just not going to be able to play pickleball.
So does this mean that before Saturday, March 18th, the battle, you will not be practicing together?
We're going to do one Monday.
We're going to do it Monday. Me and Al.
Where? Pasadena?
Pasadena.
Same place.
Okay. Yeah.
Pasadena.
I was thinking of coming out Thursday.
Come out?
But not without Trav. He's sort of my ride back to Orange County.
it's not me. It's my vehicle. It's the Silverado.
That's awesome. Even just being that park.
Given the certain conditions in my brain these days, I need ground transportation to a lot of places. Anyway, Travis and Sliwa continues right now.
Thank you, Chris. Al, thank you for being a nice human being.
Well, you didn't set it up. You didn't set it up the way. Like if this was, hey, Al, was going to play, but you know what?
Going to go take a nap.
It's baseball. It's your son. You got to go handle your stuff. But Monday, we'll do it a week from Monday.
I'm in.
And then we'll take it from there. Which, weather, by the way, means permitted. I'm getting a few in here.
I will try to – maybe I'll play Thursday night at home with one of my friends just to try to get a little rep in. My knee is finally feeling better, and I haven't played in 2 weeks. So maybe walking around –
Is it feeling better because you haven't played in 2 weeks?
Of course.
So then maybe you shouldn't be playing.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you've ever known this before, but you know what's weird? That when I went on my trip to Bandon, I did was eat fried food and have beers for 4 days. Okay. Since I've come back, I've been pretty disciplined about what it is that I've eaten.
Yep.
Believe it or not, I feel a lot better.
That's weird. That's scary.
My pants fit a little
better.
Call
your doctor.
Emily, I have sitting and standing pants simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
That I've been able to do this. They should write something up in like a medical journal that if you eat better, you feel better.
That'd be awesome if you called your doctor and you're like, hey, something's wrong. What's wrong? I feel really good.
I got home from work yesterday. I made a salad.
What do you mean you feel really good? I feel really good. Should I come in?
Yeah, my knee doesn't hurt. I'm sleeping well. Everything's lining up.
I'm more positive.
Good. Yeah, I'm in a good mood.
Come in
too.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we got to get you on
some meds. Change this immediately.
I need like what you know they give you antidepressants. I need depressants. I need to go the other.
This
way.
This is bad for business. You should come in right away.
I'm in a good mood every day. I'm getting along with people.
We don't
people.
Want our patients to feel that
it's
way.
It's a mess. This is what Mike Trout said to Ken Rosenthal about his time with the Angels. My role model growing up was Derek Jeter. That was in the back of my mind signing the contract, the way he stayed in one city. But winning is definitely, you've got to win. You get frustrated when you lose. It's getting to the point where we've got to win. That's where the organization is. The fans, they want to see some winning baseball in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's just say yes to this. I really would have liked to have seen him hold the Angels' feet to the fire much sooner than whatever this is. I don't know how much this turns up the temperature. Ohtani had already turned it up as I think as high as it's going to go as far as the impetus to win games right away. Because I hadn't really thought about this until this morning. And thinking about what Trout said and knowing that Ohtani is getting ready to hit free agency – I'm not so sure, Al, that the first 50 or 60 games for the Angels this season aren't the most important 50 or 60 games they've had in maybe 20 years, right? That you go back to their World Series championship in 02, certainly since then, because let's say through 60 games they win 25 of them. Okay, they're 25 and 35. You can give them a little better. Say they're 27 and 33. They're under 500. They're not terrible, but they're not very good either. They're outside the playoffs. Ohtani's all but gone at that point. Now you're about a month away from the trade deadline. There's all sorts of pressure to get it done. If you lose Ohtani, you lose the most exciting, dynamic, and arguably best player in baseball. If he decides to go, I don't know if that sets off something in Trout's brain where he says, look, man, I got to go. If it didn't happen with Ohtani, it's just not going to happen here. I think those 40, 50, 60 games out of the chute for the Angels, because if they come out in so 60 games and they're 35 and 25, mm-hmm. okay. Then we're not taking calls on Ohtani right now. We do have a chance to go to the postseason. It's imperative that they get off to a good start, because a bad start assures Ohtani's departure sooner than later. And I'm not so sure that doesn't start a domino effect with other guys like Trout saying, look, I've given you 10, 11 years of my career. I got to go try to win, and you guys can't get your act together.
So here's the problem. The problem with that quote is it's almost like it's disappointing to hear that quote. I'll tell you why it's disappointing. It's disappointing because I'll never forget, this was probably about a year and some change ago, where it's the first time Ohtani is coming out public and saying, yeah, I don't know what's going on here. No, this is great what I'm doing. That's awesome. All these individual, no, I'm here to win baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
That I value getting a chance to go play in the postseason. And I remember when that happened, one of the first thing that you trigger is like, hey, Mike.
Been? Where you been?
You hear what's going on here?
Sure.
This dude's been here a lot less, the amount of time he's been with the Angels losing, a lot less than the amount of time that you've been with the Angels, and you haven't won a playoff game. They got swept in that one playoff series Royals. That they were in. And to kind of just, to hear this from Mike Trout, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying that doesn't, you know, for Angels front office to sit there and say, hey, this is a problem. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is Trout should have been the first one saying this, yes. Not Ohtani.
Yes, but the thing that I think is interesting about this, and the reason I think that it puts an incredible amount of pressure on him, because you've heard me say this, Ohtani's leaving. He's leaving. The only question about Ohtani's departure is the timeline. Is he going to leave at the deadline? Is he going to leave before the deadline? Is he going to leave at the end of the season? He's leaving. Even if the Angels are really good, I think he's down. I think he's gone. But if they're bad, that quote from Trout, my role model growing up was Derek Jeter. That was in the back of my mind signing the contract. And then he gets to, but you got to. This is the first time ever, Al,
mm-hmm.
where it's been a, look, I fancy myself a one franchise guy. That's what the Derek Jeter part of this means. But it's immediately backed up with, but man, I want to win. This is new for him. And if Ohtani goes and he's looking around and we didn't make it happen with him, I'm not so sure that at some point it's not, hey, listen, I gave you guys 10-plus years to figure this out. I'd like to move too. Because the second he says he wants out, he's going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to hold on to him just to – if he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there. This is new for him. I agree with you. It should have happened a long time ago that Ohtani was the one kind of the tip of the spear. But this is new for him. And if Ohtani goes, I'm not so sure that he doesn't follow him right out the door.
So, and I get it, and you're right. It is new. I guess just for me, it's the trigger. The trigger, it wasn't Mike Trout. The trigger was Ohtani.
Sure.
Ohtani's the one that started putting the pressure on. You wish that was the case for Mike Trout. Put that all to the side.
Both of these guys.
But you're not wrong, what you just said. And can I be honest with you? If you're going to rebuild as a baseball franchise, what is it to have Ohtani and Mike Trout, two of the best players in all of baseball on your team, if you're winning
75 games.
Right. 40% of the games. Yeah. 45% of the games every year. What's the point of having them if you can't build a team and a roster that's competing? If the Ohtani, if by the time this upcoming season is done and Ohtani is gone, then I don't know if the world is going to end if you start deciding, guys, let's just do a full rebuild here. Let's get as much as we possibly can. Trout will be a different one because Trout is not the pressure that you have with Ohtani because Trout actually is under contract for a number of years.
The irony of it all? The way that they could get good fast is to get rid of both of them. Their quickest path to relevance is to trade them both, is to move because God only knows what Ohtani's going to bring. Trout is going to bring something pretty damn close to whatever. Now, he's older and he's starting to break a little bit, so maybe not an Ohtani-level haul, but they did the top 50 guys in the World Baseball Classic. They kind of ranked who it is. Two of the top three are Angels. Okay? Two of the top three are Angels, and they stink.
Mm-hmm.
That the if I'm Mike Trout, I would have been down the road a long time ago. I would have taken their money and then said, look, you're on the clock. I'll give you 2 years to fix this. Otherwise, I'm out of here. But it feels like his timeline's a little longer, but that it's finally here.
He's about to turn, or he's 31 right now.
And he's breaking.
And his contract goes through 38.
Yeah,
and 38 years old.
He's still very, very good, mm-hmm. but he's not what he was when he was 27. He just doesn't play in as many games. He just it's the availability thing that we've talked about so often. All right, we've talked about the Western Conference, who we like, who's got a chance, who can sneak in. There's one team we never talk about, and Taylor's going to talk about him next. It's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.